Amen. It sure is good to see each of you tonight. Good to see this number out tonight. I'm glad you're here. I've been really excited about getting back tonight and just thanking the Lord for all that He's been doing and just the sweet spirit that's been around the church and just real thankful for that. I tell you, it's always interesting to see what He's going to do next and being plugged in and being invested in it and just really looking forward to the lesson tonight and really looking forward to tomorrow night. I've been studying for collegians also, so also still be in prayer for them and be in prayer for the services going on at Victory. I've not gone up there or anything, but be in prayer for those services also. But if you will, let's be turning to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Heard something said this week, and I guess, you know, it's probably obvious, but sometimes you hear something and it lands maybe with you different than as sometimes versus other times. But just kind of listening to some commentary and some messages and things, and I heard the statement said that shallow roots can't hold much fruit. Shallow roots can't hold much fruit. And I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. It just kind of stuck with me. In a line of different things this fellow was saying, that's the one line out of about a 30-minute message or lesson or talk, whatever you want to call it, that's the one thing that really stood out to me. And as I started studying on it, it just really made me think about about roots and the importance of roots. I think what happens, we have a lot of idealists around. We have a lot of maybe philosophers around, philosophers, you know, the love of wisdom, maybe the love of it, not as much as the application of it sometimes. And I think sometimes it's easy to fall in love with ideas of things. You know, it's fun to sit around and talk and share ideas with one another and maybe get excited or encouraged or maybe want to see something big happen or take part in something big, and you kind of, if you're not careful, you kind of fall in love with the idea of something versus knowing what the reality of it really is and what it takes to get to that point, get to that place. And in looking at roots, roots are the unsung heroes of things. I have to say this, and it's kind of interesting. We're about a year out from Hurricane Helene and what have you. So that's been on my mind a lot here lately, just thinking about this time last year, things were getting ready to happen. We had no idea, you know, the magnitude of what that was going to be. But if there's something that I have seen a lot of this past year, especially going out, taking pictures, being around land and things and what have you, is how many trees have been uprooted. I've seen a lot more root balls this year probably than I ever have my entire life. You just kind of see them everywhere. All the trees kind of blown over and what have you. And you see the big, big, tall tree, even a big around circumference of a tree, and it's laid over. And then when you see the root ball, the root system underneath it, it wasn't that big around. It wasn't that deep. And, you kind of get to thinking, how in the world did you last this long? And we live where we live, we have a lot of trees, and we get worried every time it rains. In storms now, we kind of get worried. We've had one or two fall prior to anything like this, and we saw one break in two during the storm. So, you kind of think about things like that. But I want to teach tonight for a few minutes just on roots and the idea, the thought of that shallow roots can't hold much fruit. If we want to grow as a church, or we want to grow as individuals, we want to grow as Christians, we got to really think about the foundational part before the unseen part. Been thinking a lot about Brother Remington, been thinking a lot about him the last couple of days, and I'll be talking to you soon about preaching for us, so hang tight on that. But been thinking about that, and it's one thing, I think one of the things that we talk about a lot, I talk a lot about with young preachers or preachers in general, is nerves, being nervous. And things like that, getting up for the first time or getting up in front of people and everything, and you get nervous about that and what have you. And then if you're not careful, it would be an easy reply to say, well, you'll get used to it. You'll overcome that. You'll get used to that. But the reality of it is, if you don't spend your time alone with God in private, you'll never be the preacher that He wants you to be. It's not about being comfortable with yourself. It's not about getting over the nerves or becoming a better speaker or talker or anything like that. I tell you, the best things that take place or can take place in church is a result of what happens in private. You think about the root system. The roots, nobody ever really talks about roots so much. It's like nobody comes up here from Florida to see our root system, do they? No, they want to see those pretty leaves, you know, everything that's out there visible, everybody can see, you know, but those big tall trees wouldn't be there if there wasn't some roots to hold them up. You think about in a church, you know, man, this is great. The church is growing and what have you, and you get excited about things like that. Well, I tell you, it takes a root system to sustain that. It takes a very strong root system, and I really want us to focus on that in the ecosystem or the system, the root system of the church. And I want you to go, I'm going to go ahead and say this now. Every single one of you is a part of that root. It's not just one person. And not that anybody would think that, but I do see a lot of times people will follow after a preacher or a person. And I tell you, you got to stay with the Lord. That's where the root system revolves around. It doesn't revolve around a person, but that root system, it revolves around Jesus Christ. But the root system is you and me, and we got to revolve around Him. That's the depth of how we grow. I thank God for breakthroughs. I thank God for the times that we get to have. But to know where that comes from, it comes from the unseen. That's one of the most miraculous things that I've learned throughout life, but it's seemingly, especially the last few months, is it's not about the seen. It truly is about the unseen. About having faith in the Lord that not maybe sometimes it's specific and sometimes it's broad enough that you're going to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to pray for here. I don't know what kind of detail to pray for. I'm going to leave the details up to You. I trust You with it. And then sometimes maybe there's specific things that we can pinpoint and we can be very specific about, and that the Lord has allowed our hearts to be affixed on or what have you, that we can be very affixed to it. We can pray on it. And then when the Lord answers it, we know that He answered it because it's that specific. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there's many situations. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to be that specific about because I don't know what's best. And not knowing what's best or how to respond or how to react and then just back off and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You with it all. Cause me to do what You want me to do. Cause me to say what You want me to say. But when you look at these verses here, I think it really does guide us in. Now, I know there's probably way more verses that we could use, but what I'm trying to do, instead of biting off more than I can chew, than we can chew, is focus on a few verses, but really just really look at them. This verse here is probably Colossians 2:6 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've quoted it probably several times. I've even heard Dad mention it before in teaching and probably different ones. But it is just, it's the foundation of who we are and how we're supposed to be, how it starts, where it starts. It says, verse 6, it says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's pray and then we'll get started tonight. Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for the time that You've given to us, the time, Lord, to study, to focus and to pray, God, and just really try to meditate on what You would have for us in our church, God. And Lord, we just want to be who You want us to be, focused on what You want us to be focused on, centered around that, God, and just growing in it. God, I just pray for the root system of our church, our foundation, God, that it would grow stronger, it would grow deeper, God, and be more fixed, more firm, God. Lord, I thank You for the foundation that we already have. Lord, what a foundation that is been laid, Lord. But I tell you, God, I just know in my heart that we're supposed to continue to grow. That foundation is to be stronger. The root system is to be stronger. And God, I just pray that your will be done. Lord, I pray that you help our hearts. God, please cause me to say what you'd have me to, and nothing, Lord, that I shouldn't, but we just want to see your will done. And Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow deeper, Lord, deeper in love and just deeper, more affirmed, God, every day. And God, I just pray that you help us here tonight. Be with us, Lord, those that are lost, I pray you be with them. And Lord, just all that is going on around about us, God, I just pray for those many objects of prayer. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you go back and you look at the key to spiritual growth and being having a deep-rooted stability, what would you say is the key to it? I wrote this question down this morning. What causes or allows our roots to grow deeper and deeper? If you want to grow, you can. I mean, here's the thing. It's an individual choice. I can't force somebody. You can't force me. It's one of those things you can absolutely pray for it, but it's one of those things that you have to have personally with the Lord that yourself. You want to grow. You want to do things. There's different things in our life, and you look at the life of a root. You think about, let's do this. I'll use this analogy. We're kind of coming out of the gardening season now, and I think some gardens did maybe pretty good. Some maybe didn't, but it was based on the elements and what they were exposed to and whether they did good or not, too much rain or what have you. Some of the tomatoes didn't do well, just different things. And so we're a product of what happens around about us. But in that being said, we have the choice to actually do something about it or not. You know, again, I'm saying this about being idealist. We could sit at the window and look out at the window. If you can view your garden from there and you can look at your garden and say, boy, I wish. Boy, I wish that garden would grow. I wish it would do better, and I'd love to have good tomatoes and good beans and corn and all those. I would love to have that. I would love to see that grow and just be something that I would have for canning season, and boy, that'd just be so good to eat, and I want that. I want that. But I'm not going to step foot in the garden. There might be a snake down there. I'm not going to get down there in that mess. There might be a snake down there. There might be slugs down there. There might be all kinds of mess down there. And then you get all muddy and nasty. I don't want to get involved. Well, guess what? That garden's going to have a hard time growing. How many of you have a garden that just runs on its own? Anybody? I don't think anybody does. That's one of the things I dreaded most growing up was working in the garden. So I know probably adults love it more now. Maybe some kids did, but I didn't. I'm just going to be honest. It's a lot of hard work. The one thing that I knew without fail that we could grow is rocks. They were always there. If you come to my mom and dad's house, and it's probably still that way now, if you come up John Cornett Road and you'll see where the garden was to the right there, just on the other side of that was a creek bed. But before you got to the creek bed, it was a rock pile. The rock pile grew and grew every year because I had a hand in that. That's what I had to do. Dad would kind of till it up, we'd do all that, and all these rocks kept coming. I was like, where do they keep coming from? I mean, is fertilized call that? It calls that? I mean, what is that? But those rocks kept coming up, and I just remember he just kept throwing more and more. But you know, what I did learn from that is it takes work. It takes work. You see all these things come up. It takes the tilling. It takes the fertilizing. It takes the rain. It takes the sunshine. You see all these different kind of things that it takes to grow. You look at the roots, though, you don't see them. You don't see them until potatoes, until it's time to dig them up, and you see, wow. Now, that was kind of fun. I have to say that was probably the funnest part. When you go back and you start looking underneath those plants, I mean, they weren't pretty. I mean, maybe they was pretty, but they didn't have flowers, all this kind of just green plants. You can tell if they're healthy or not, but you wanted to see what was underneath it. That's where the prize was at when you started digging all that up. And I remember as a little kid, we'd cut those potatoes in half. We'd put them in there. And it was remarkable to me to know in a few months you're going to pull that up and there's going to be not just a half of a potato, but a bunch more, hopefully, Lord willing. But when you started digging those up and you could see, my goodness, look at that. You see some little ones and some of the big ones, some of the Mickey Mouse looking ones. I'm always wanting to see what the weird shaped one was, you know, and that was interesting to me. But the thing about it is, most often, When you think about the church or Christianity, you very rarely think about the root and what's going on underneath the surface. You just don't. It's what's taking place in public. It's what's taking place where people can see it. But this is where the special part happens. This is where it is most important. I tell you, to have things in here now the way they're supposed to be, it takes place. There's things that needs to take place in private before you ever get to this point. When you look at verse 6 again, it says, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord," the only way that you can truly receive Him is by faith, accepting it. Again, the unseen. What you've heard preached, what you've heard taught, and I would say probably the more you've heard it, the more apt you are to believe it. If you hear something one time, I've heard people say this about something in the Bible that you're not supposed to do, right? I've heard people say this, well, it only says it in there. Brother Mike just says one time you're not supposed to do that. Now, there's other places in the Bible it says more times or you're not supposed to do that. So you're really not supposed to do that. But if it only says it one time in the Bible, well, no. One time in the Bible is enough. Amen? If it says one time not to do something, that's enough. But I believe the more that we hear something, the more apt we are to believe it. The more apt that we are to act upon it. And if you ever get to that place that you've heard it, you act upon it, then there should be evidence of things to back it up. And so as you've received Him, as a person has accepted Christ in salvation, you go to Him. I think about how I accepted Him, how it was. I asked Him to save me. I was afraid. I knew that He was my only hope. I knew that I wanted to put all my trust in Him in that moment. I had come to a place in my life that it had went from my head, it went into my heart, and I knew that I had to trust Him in that moment. And I think people can get to that place. But here's the thing, after that moment, that's your life every second after that. Every second. We should never, you know, get to a place where salvation is a one-time thing that you just, then it's just over and then I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I've seen that happen a lot. I've seen parents pray, worry, have a burden about their children. Their children accept the Lord and guess what? All of them quit going to church. What? How does that happen? How does that happen? Now, I'm just going to tell you, that seed may have landed in the dirt, and it might be just under the dirt, but there's not going to be a root system there. There's not going to be any growth. There's not going to be any spiritual growth. And I'll show you why. The Bible goes on to teach that. But every day after you've received Him, you have to walk in Him just like that every day. Every time something happens, that's your opportunity to grow. There's no substitute for growth outside of faith. What causes us or allows our roots to grow deeper and deeper? Faith. It's not being an idealist. It's not thinking up things. It's not talking about things. It's acting on things. Hebrews 11:6. It's hard to talk about faith without that verse. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're not going to please Him if you don't put confidence in Him. He begs us every day, if you believe it or not, to put some level of confidence in Him. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think sometimes we're waiting on the big things. We think about the big things that happen in life, the traumatic things in life, when maybe there's a bad diagnosis or maybe there was a bad accident or something happened that was unexpected, and that's that time that people identify as a time. Boy, this is my time to grow. If I could grow without a situation like that, I'd rather grow that way. Brother Tim, I don't want to have to wait for some traumatic, big incident to happen. I want to start growing now. If you're not careful, people kind of start waiting for this big or bad thing to happen when the Lord gives us opportunities to grow every single day. I think one of the biggest ways that I've seen learning and growing is learning how just to be quiet. People love seeing people worked up. My friends, growing up, they used to love to pick on me. They try to get me mad. They say, oh, look at Cornette. His nose is getting pointy. He's getting mad. They just want to work you up. You probably got friends like that too. If you ever work long, you'll probably find people like they want to work you up. They want to see you mad. They'll just tell you a bunch of stuff to get you worked up. See, people like that. They want to see the reaction of somebody. They want to see a reaction. They want to see a worked up reaction. And you know, it's like one of the things like this. Now, this is going to make you mad, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. They're not apologizing for telling you. They're just kind of getting amped up. I get to see them mad. You know, some people are like that. But just learning how just to be silent about things, knowing that God has it under control. That's a hard thing. But see, I tell you, that's something you will probably get to exercise your faith every single day. Every day. And you think about it like this. If you're a root system here, and you're here, and if you start exercising faith, then you know that it's going to grow deeper and stronger every time you do something right for the Lord, every time you give it to Him, then your root system is going to get a little bit stronger. That's how it works. Now, the interesting thing, and you've probably seen time lapses. I don't have an illustration of that, but if you look at a root system, it's not instantaneous. You don't put that half a potato in the ground and then you go back tomorrow and you pull out all those potatoes. It takes time. It takes times. It takes exposure to elements. It takes exposure to things. And there's probably some rocks down there and other things down there that they're going to have to grow around. It's not going to be able just to go right through it. It's going to have to go around it. But still yet, it can be stronger. And you know what happens when it goes around that dirt and that rocks, those rocks and things and those clumps of clay and dirt and little chunks of wood. You know what happens when it goes around that? It gets stronger. Those trees that I've seen laid over, there's all kinds of those things underneath there. If you look underneath it, go out and see one. You look underneath it, all those things that were supposed to hinder it, guess what? It made it stronger. That's what that clump is. It's all that dirt, all those rocks. It's amazing how the world can throw negative things at you, but the Lord can use it for good if you'll trust Him with it. The Lord tells us all throughout His Word, the Bible tells us we're enmity with the world. The world's at enmity with God. And so when these things happen, we shouldn't be surprised with it, but our response is what's going to tell the tale if our roots grow deeper or not. And so also, okay, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Your prayer life and your growth life is not going to be what it should be. It's not going to be much at all if you don't believe that He is. If you don't believe in Him, and I'd say, well, you know, a saved person, you know, if a person's saved, they believe Him. Yeah, but see, I think sometimes they believe in Him that one time. You got to believe in Him every time. That's how you grow. I ask some of you older Christians, are you more firm today than you were the day that you got saved? We don't have any old Christians in here. Nobody's looking, right? Yeah. Think about it. I was so naive. I was so young, naive, didn't know much. Not that I know anything now, but when I look back to then versus now, I'm like, man, that saved person then probably couldn't have handled this situation. But all these little situations that happen throughout life, that's what makes you stronger. It makes you firmer. It makes you more fixed. And you've just seen God do things throughout your life. You've seen Him do things that you can't help but know. And when you know, that's stronger than believing. The Bible uses the word believe. But I tell you, there's times that the Lord has made Himself so real to me. It's just that this is how it's going to be. I've had this conversation with the Lord before. It's like, Lord, I don't know how You're going to do this, but one day You and I are going to look back on this situation together and you're going to say, remember, Jason, when I was on my throne and you were here and you were going through that and you trusted me, you remember that time I was there for you, wasn't I? And now you get to see me face to face. You know how real that is? See, that is the unseen. That's the unseen. When you can look past your problems and look past things and know that God is going to take care of those things regardless, even though you hadn't seen Him by your physical eye yet. That's faith. That's the beauty of it. When God can control you and me without us seeing Him face to face, and He can control us through our hearts because we trust in Him, that's what He wants. And here's the thing. What does He want most? The people that offer up the least resistance. That's the roots that just keep doing this. Regardless, they just keep doing this. They keep getting deeper and keep getting stronger. That's what he's looking for. A must believe that he is a rewarder. Now, that's the good part. You know, there's a reward system in faith. You know, we get to a place that we know, we should know, we're not worthy of anything. We're not. We're not worthy of anything, but God has allowed us to be able to approach his throne boldly, be able to pray to him, ask petitions of him. He made it that way. It didn't have to be that way, but he made it that way. He gave that to us. That's a gift. And if we believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that's not everybody. That's not everybody. See, we can't throw blankets on everything and just say, everybody gets this. It's only a rewarder of them. If you don't have that underlined, underline that. I want you to say that word, them. It's not everybody, because everybody don't place their faith in the Lord. Some people fly apart. Some people like the drama and things like that, and they fly apart and they don't get past that part. But you have to believe and know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the root that keeps growing, even though it doesn't see it. That's the root that keeps going down. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm just going to keep growing and being more firm and more fixed in you and trust whatever you do that it's your will. Because I trust you that much. See, that's how you grow. It's not a matter of you and I being in control of things. Very rarely will people admit that they want to be in control of things, but most people do. Most people want to control every aspect of a day and every aspect of life, but until when life throws that out there that you can't control, it spins everything out of control. It's hard for people to get past that, but you know, that's when the roots got to go back, past the rock and just keep going down and getting deeper and stronger. And you see, again, shallow roots cannot contain much fruit. You know, if a person is living in that lifestyle, or in that being fixed in that situation, or the majority of a church is fixed in that situation, I tell you, their fruit capacity is going to max out. But those who are willing to continue to grow that and have a deeper root system, that's how you grow. Now, you think about this. I thought about this today too, and looking at plants. You know, we have a growing season here. Where Brandy's family's from, in Southern Pines, their growing season's longer because you have warmer weather. You have better weather, atmosphere. You just have a longer season there, so you can grow longer. Here, it's a little bit shorter. So here, what you have is a growing season. But did you know, for the Christian, there is no growing season? It doesn't stop until you pass away, but then your faith ends in sight. But you think about it like this. It's not this growing season that starts at salvation and then ends prior to leaving this world. Our growth season is infinite. It goes on and on and on. So that means that our roots can continue to grow forever and ever and ever. Now you think about how deep the roots are going to be when you see Jesus for the first time. That's as deep as it can get. But you look at that. Diligently seeking him, staying with him diligently, that means steady application. You stay with him regardless. Every time that you find yourself in a situation that it doesn't look very hopeful, it doesn't look like it's going to work out, things look like they're flying apart, that is a time for your roots to grow. Romans 8:28. You look at that verse there, that's a hard verse for a lot of people to wrap their minds around, but for his good, for our good. Everything works out to our good, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Isn't that something? That means there's a way around that stumbling block. God has created a way around that stumbling block, and that's Jesus Christ. Each member of the church is a root. It's up to each member to determine how deep they're willing to grow. And it doesn't just happen. You don't sit at the window and look out. It doesn't just happen. Every day we'll offer up an opportunity. Look at verse number 7. I'll hurry along. There's the word rooted. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's a lot in that verse if you break it down. If you look at the word rooted, that means fixed in the earth. Fixed in the earth. That's exactly what it says. If you look in Noah Webster 1828. But you and I are not supposed to be affixed in the earth, are we? Or the world, Brother Allen. We're not, are we? But where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your time? Where you spend the majority of your time is where your roots are going to grow. Remember what I said just a few minutes ago talking about the exposure? The more times you are exposed to something, the more apt you are to believe it. The more used to it that you're going to be, the more comfortable you're going to be with it. If you spend most of your time in the world, or if you spend most of your time in something outside of church or outside of the Word of God, then if you're not careful, that's where your roots are going to grow. They'll grow there. They'll grow on that. You know, I've seen trees grow on rocks. That's where their exposure was. Now the root system just kind of went around that rock, but they were just kind of sitting on top of that rock, not down in the earth where a tree is supposed to grow, but rooted and built up in the earth. But what does this Bible say? It says rooted. The definition says rooted, but what it says here, but and built up in Him. So that means that our roots are supposed to grow in Jesus Himself. In faith, in confidence, in Jesus, not in man, not in career, not in things that are on the earth, anything like that, but rooted and grounded in Him. And now that's when it gets real. You start letting your roots grow in the Lord, then all these things that start looking like impossibilities become possible. Not because we can do it, but because He can. And He said many times in His Word, He will do it. He'll take care of these things. Rooted and built up. And you see the word here, established. That's that's set. That's fixed firmly in the faith. The more you hear it, the more you apply it, the deeper your roots can grow. And here's the thing. You have to do that or it's not going to happen. You can talk about it all day. We can preach on it. We can talk about it. We can sing about it. We can go next door in Sunday school and we can teach on it. But until you apply it, your roots are just going to sit right here. You have to apply it for it to take place. So you say, well, if I want more faith, how do I have more faith? How do I get more faith? What does Romans 10:17 say? Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17, it says, So then faith cometh by hearing. You know, I can tell, and I know the Lord can tell, and it's not for me. I'm not the judge, but I'm just saying, you can tell when somebody gets serious about the Lord because they try to find every opportunity they can to be where He's at. They try to find every opportunity that they can to hear more about Him, to learn more about Him. One of the questions that we had asked in our CFC, one of the questions that we offered up, we asked the students, what do you want to talk about? One of the questions was a personal Bible study. I want personal Bible study tips. Lord willing, that's what I plan on teaching on tomorrow night. And, you know, there's a lot to teach or a lot to study. It's not just picking up the Bible and reading it a little bit and say, boy, that's good, and then just walking away from it. There is a lot when you think about the whole purpose of why you're trying to study. It's so you can retain it and then you can share it. If you want to know how little you know about something, tell somebody else how it works. That's when you'll know how much you know about whatever that is. If you can actually explain it to somebody or not, that'll tell you how much you know about that thing. Well, I've heard about it. Yeah, a lot of people's heard a lot of things. But if you can sit down and explain something to somebody and know how it works, where they can have an understanding of how it works, it takes time to do that. You see, that's what I see here in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. If you want your faith to grow, you need to hear more and hear more and hear more and hear more. You see, the thing about it is these days go by faster and faster. We've talked about that many times, talked about it even tonight. These days go by so fast that if you don't block off a little time every day to hear something, you're not growing in it. Your faith isn't growing. It'll stop right there. And see, the thing about it is, we don't know when that storm is going to come. So you don't, it's not like you get to wait until your root system is fully grown and matured before some catastrophic event actually happens. You don't get to choose when it happens. It happens when it happens. Again, that speaks to being prepared and being ready. There's no time like the present. Just start where you're at and keep going and keep growing for the Lord. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, more and more and more, just absolutely falling in love with the Word of God. I remember when the Lord has called me to preach, I was working at the, trying to remember exactly where I was. This was years ago. This was when the Lord, Brother Bill was dealing with me years ago. I was still at ASU Police at the time. I was a security officer. And, you know, I worked night shift half the time. We rotated shifts, and we had time at night. It's different time, different than day shift, and had time. You know, I started taking my Bible to work. It's like, I've got to get this in me. I've got to know more. I want to know more. I tell you, if you can get to that place that you're going to seek out time every day, it's going to help you to grow. So, preacher, I don't understand what I'm reading. You know what? Take the little things that you read and study on it. Let it sit in here for a while and then resonate and fall in here. Meditate on it. And you know, the thing about it is, I promise you, I have never, not that I understand everything, but I've never meditated on something and prayed on something that the Lord didn't come through and say, here, think about this. Here, think about this for a little bit. You know what? You think about that, and that will remind you of another verse maybe you've heard, and next thing you know, you're in another part of the Bible, and then you see that, which leads you to another part of the Bible, and next thing you know, you're a Bible student. Isn't that something? The Lord will guide you into some of the truth. Isn't that what the Bible says? Everybody's looked up. All truth. That's the truth. If you're willing to follow Him, if you're willing to let your roots grow. I'm going to read these verses, and we're going to close here. We're going to have our time of prayer. Again, just look at this. Verse number 6, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That's a daily regimen, a daily walk that you have with the Lord. Goes on to being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught. That's taking every opportunity. That's the hearing. That's the hearing that you have in Romans 10:17. As you've been taught. And then it goes on to say, abounding therein. Abounding is a great plenty. You know, none of us, I know we're different ages, different places in our walk with the Lord, but as you grow in the Lord, things shouldn't take us by surprise. People are going to ask questions. People are going to know. These students are going to ask questions. And I tell you, we're going to be stumped on some things, but that's the beauty of being able to go back and study and look through some of these things. But abounding, that means a great plenty. That's recalling and remembering and retaining what you hear in church, what you hear in Sunday school, what you hear in your own private Bible study. I want to tell you, preaching on Sunday, Sunday school, Wednesday, that's not enough. How many times do you eat a week? Do you eat 3 times a week? Is that enough? You eat every day, don't you? It's the same thing about the Word of God. If you want that inner man to grow, if you want deeper roots, you're going to have to eat every single day. I promise you that. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I'll just say that, the part about thanksgiving. The more you learn, the closer, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more thankful you're going to be. You can't help but get to that place. You see how the Lord can lead you through things if you're willing to let Him do it? It'll cause your heart to be thankful. Just knowing the truth is so much to be thankful about. There's a lot of people seeking out, wanting to know what the truth is, and looking in a lot of the wrong places. And I tell you, that's a big part of what you and I are supposed to do. It's leading people to Him. But I'm going to stop there because I can keep going. I just about said before I started this would be short. I quit saying that because I know that's probably not going to be true anymore. It just happens like that. But does anybody have anything on their heart that they'd like to say tonight before we have our objects of prayer.